Let us pray. God, who still speaks to us through one another and through all of creation, speak to us today through your word. Help us to hear your message anew and have the courage to live it out. In your name we pray. Amen.
First reading is from Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been enriched for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, those they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not without us be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for who, the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel today comes from Luke chapter 12. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So our message today is kind of in two parts, and we first get the truth, and then we get some encouragement. So I feel like we might as well get to the truth first. I feel like the lectionary readings have put all the easy gospel readings together. So last week you may have heard we had the aesthetic Jesus who told us to sell all of our possessions, and now this week we have the mean Jesus that says he's going to bring fire to the earth and he's going to divide households. I have to tell you, especially after Jeff's children's time, this is a very hard sermon to preach. You don't want to talk about bringing fire to the earth. You don't expect the blonde-headed, white-skinned Jesus that we see in most of our American churches, who's always smiling and always has children around him, to be sharing this kind of message. But I told you there's encouragement, so let's get through Jesus first. And there's, if we look at it, there's a little bit of interpretation we can do so that it feels a little better. So fire really in this scripture reading can be also representing justice. And we like Jesus to bring justice. That's okay with us, right? And then peace, it's not the type of peace that is without violence kind of peace. But this peace really can be translated to be unity or disrupting the status quo. So that makes us feel better. But then we get all of this mess about Jesus coming to bring division. And what do we do with that? In high school, I don't know why when I'm preaching I bring up a lot of what happened in high school. Maybe a very formative time for me. But in high school, I dated a guy who was Church of Christ. Have you ever run into someone who was Church of Christ? So I'll tell you a few things about them if you have not encountered these lovely folks. So Church of Christ folks don't have a choir, and they also don't, they certainly don't have women preaching or saying amen after a prayer, and they don't have music. So they don't have musical instruments because that wasn't in the New Testament, and they take communion every week. So my boyfriend at the time, he would come to church with me sometimes, I think because mine was shorter and a little more fun. And he'd come to church with me sometimes, and we would get out, 11:50, and 12:05 on the dot, his grandmother would call his cell phone. He would answer, "Yes, grandmother. Where are you?" I'm just with Peggy Jean and her family. "Well, are you going to come home for dinner, and are you coming to church?" He goes, "Well, grandmother, I told you, yes, I'm coming home for dinner," because she made really good okra. And "yes, I will, I'm coming for church, but I already went to church, grandmother." "You know that's not church." And she was serious because he had not taken communion, and so she did not feel like that was church. And in college, I had folks, I went to this non-denominational church, and they were all trying to decide who was in and out by who was baptized by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that means, so I said I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. They meant speaking in tongues. And then in seminary, it was, "What faith tradition are you from?" And there was always a coolest faith tradition. By the way, it wasn't Cumberland Presbyterians. The Mennonites were the coolest in seminary. I'm serious, actually. But there was always division. I've seen that it's quoted that we have 33,000 different Protestant denominations. When I went online to check out this statistic, it was very weird. There were only Catholic blogs that were disputing this. They're like, "No, there aren't that many denominations." I don't know why the Catholics are so interested in how many denominations we have, but there are lots of divisions that exist already in the church. But I think Jesus was talking about something different here that was maybe a little bit harder. And the best way I can know to describe what it might feel like is to tell you about a kid I met named Kamir, and I'm going to try to stick with that name, and hopefully I don't say his real name. So Kamir was about 14, maybe 15 when I met him. Kamir lived in North Philadelphia, a block away from a drug house that typically there were shootings at once a week, but he knew the drill. He was a really playful, goofy, funny kid. He really tried to be cool, but often was not. And around 14 or 15, he started trying to do everything that his brother did. And in Philadelphia, we don't really have gangs, we have blocks. So you rep your block, you represent your block. And it's kind of like it's kind of like our government. But you elect someone to be the leader. The voting happens a little differently. And those are the folks that you spend your time with. Those are the folks that protect you. Those are the folks that teach you how to be a man. It was all male block crews. Those are your people. Those are your family. Those are the people you call brother and uncle, even if they're not related to you. But Kamir's brother was repping this particular block. And so one of the things you do, it's kind of like if you've ever been in a fraternity or a sorority, you know, you go through the, what do they call it? The initiation phase. Rush, yes. I'm sure it's about the same, maybe a little more intense. And you do whatever this group of guys on that particular corner tells you to do. And so this group of guys, they knew Kamir's brother. They really started liking Kamir because Kamir would do silly things. He would also do the things that nobody else wanted to do. So if someone said, go get me a Coke from the store, he would go get the Coke. He would go running. If they would say, go get me 2 pieces of paper from the church, he would go get 2 pieces of paper from the church. And his brother was really excited because the group of guys was really starting to take him on, to really like him. And he started, you know, walking around with them. He would travel with them. They would take him in their nice cars. And one of the things I forgot to mention is that these crews, they often are also selling drugs on the corner. So it's a way to also make a lot of money really quickly when you're young. And so he was getting in good, and he was really excited. He kept telling, I was working for the church at that time, and he kept coming back and telling me that, you know, he really was about to get in with this corner. And it was in kind of all of his dreams, all of his hopes were about to come true. And one night, his brother's friend said, meet me at the basketball courts. So we met him at the basketball courts behind the middle school. And he said, get in and take a little drive with me. And on the drive, he said, Kamir, we are so proud of you. You are really becoming a man. And we really are excited to have you as one of us. And, you know, tonight is just going to be another step in that direction of you becoming one of us. And so Kamir's ready. He's ready to go. He doesn't know what it'll be. Will it be get a whole box of pizza for him? What is going to be the question? He said, so Kamir, you're going to do whatever I ask, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, man, I got you. That means I'm going to do what you said. And right before he drives up to this park and stops. His friend stops, and his brother is in the back of the car, and Kamir is in the passenger side seat. And he says, so in a few minutes when we drive up, there will be a group of guys coming. And at some point, there's going to be this one guy left alone, and he described what he thought he'd be wearing and what he looked like. And he opened the glove compartment, and there was a gun. And he said, so you still got me? And Kamir, at that point, didn't know what to do because he was just a goofy guy. And I don't know that he had ever touched a gun before. And he was really afraid, so he took the gun in his hand. And he thought about it for a few seconds. And then he set it down on the seat beside him, opened the door, and walked away. That was in the spring. I guess initiations happen. Rush happens in the spring for corners. And the entire summer, Kamir stayed in his house. Because remember I said these are the folks that protect you. These are the folks that walk around with you. They are like your muscle when you're going around. And when there are shootings on your street on a weekly basis, you need to have muscle around. You need to have protection. You need to have people that are close enough to you that you call them brother and you call them uncle. Because you need to know that they have your back. And Kamir knew by laying that gun down that evening that he not only walked away from his brother, older brother that he looked up to, but from this potential family that he thought he was building. And no one would talk to Kamir, not even people who didn't rep that block. And he stayed in the house the whole time because he knew if he went out of the house, he was going to get jumped. And the only place that he came that summer was to the church building. In that instance, he walked away from all of the family he knew. And it made me wonder, is this the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about? How one decision that you make and that you have to make over and over and over again changes your entire life who you think of as family, who you call brother, who you call uncle. It changes the places that you think are safe and the places that you think are home. And I'm excited to tell you that Kamir now has this little baby. He's so chunky and fat, and he looks just like Kamir. And Kamir is the best dad. He loves him so much. But he never rekindled that relationship with his brother. And he still doesn't feel safe on those blocks. And I wonder if Kamir hadn't have walked out of that car that night, would he have his son? My guess is, especially with the younger guys who aren't that crafty and who are a little goofy, what happens to them is they either get shot or they get locked up. And so he wouldn't have had the opportunity to share that love with his son. But he doesn't get that love back from his brother. And so that's the truth that Jesus tells us this morning, is that following Jesus is hard. And that although here in the South, maybe everyone goes to church, whether it's Methodist, Church of Christ, Cumberland Presbyterian, not everyone follows Jesus or takes the gospel seriously. Often I don't even. Because if you do, it will change your entire life. I mean, can you imagine if I actually took the gospel seriously and sold all my stuff? That doesn't make for a lot of friends, and I don't even know that this church would thrive. I think it would make for some very good gossip in the women's Sunday school groups. Did you hear about Peggy Jean? Oh, yeah, she's gone off the deep end. Sold all her stuff. I don't know why she's taking that gospel literally. Something about following Jesus. And if we look in the Bible, almost everyone who decides to follow Jesus, their life gets harder afterwards. So that's the truth, right? That following Jesus is hard and inevitably divides us from others, causing disruption in our whole way of life. So there's got to be encouragement, right? And that's why we look to Hebrews. Why in the world would we choose to do this? So before I tell you what someone once told me, I'll tell you what Clarence Jordan says faith is, because we hear this long list of faith, right? And Clarence Jordan says that faith is betting your life on unseen realities. So don't forget that. But I did ask someone, why would you continue to follow Jesus if it's going to cost you that much? And the woman I asked this was, her name is Barbara Easley Cox. She still lives in North Philadelphia. I know we're in Philadelphia a lot this morning, but that's just where the stories are coming from. And Miss Barbara, which is what everyone called her, is a light-skinned black woman. She's got white hair that's buzzed almost to her scalp because she doesn't have time to deal with doing her hair. And every time she sees, she's kind of like a black Iva, actually. Every time you see her, she's running around doing something. She's always got something to fix. And hey, how you doing, girl? And walking around, fixing, doing, serving. Every day she was in the soup kitchen where we fed 75 to 150 people a day at the church. And you wouldn't know it. Oh, she also always has T-shirts on. She never wears anything other than T-shirts. And they're like, stay woke. Or they're like, sup. Or they have something crazy written on them, and you never know where she gets these shirts from. T-shirts and jeans and always hustling. And you wouldn't know it, but Miss Barbara has been doing this for over 50 years. You see, she is one of the top 10 women, 10 most famous Black Panthers in America. She became a Black Panther when she was in California in college, and she married this guy who was a leader in the Black Panthers. And one of the things that she did as a Black Panther was she served in the free breakfast for children's program and the free clothing program, making sure that folks had everything they needed. And then when her husband got exiled to France, she went with him. And then he got invited to North Korea, and she went with him. And she was one of two women in North Korea during that decade who had a black baby in North Korea. And then She came back to Philadelphia, and her husband died in exile. And she continues to work every single day at the soup kitchen, making sure she's feeding the hungry. And about every other week, she has another stranger staying at her house. And then she often has to fly around the country because she's doing workshops on how to build peace with people who are very different from you. And I thought, of course, this would be a very good youth activity to bring all of our youth to go visit Miss Barbara. So we would go to visit Miss Barbara, and her house is just like an art gallery, but it's also very, very small. So everyone has to sit right next to each other. And she tells us our story. And our youth group, by the way, was all black kids from North Philadelphia who lived in pretty high crime neighborhood and who were all poor or in deep poverty. They're all sitting around listening to Miss Barbara's stories and just absolutely amazed. And then one kid asked the question that I kind of asked more of later. He said, "You've been doing this for over 50 years?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Why do you keep following Jesus?" And she said, "Well, I'm patient. I celebrate small change. And I know I've just got to keep going." And then a girl asked, "Well, but I don't understand. How do you do it?" And she pointed to this banner that was up on her wall, and it said, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest." And she said, "That's my mantra. I have faith. I believe in God's freedom, God's peace, and God's love." Miss Barbara has bet her life on unseen realities. And when the kids heard what it was that kept her going, they sat up a little straighter in their seats, and you could see that their posture changed, that they somehow became a little prouder of themselves. Because this is the kind of encouragement that we also see in Hebrews. This is the kind of encouragement that just isn't like, "Oh, you're going to do fine, you'll do great." No, this is a woman who has been fighting for justice and peace and God's love to encompass the world for over 50 years. And when she says, "You can still do this," you believe her. Because there's something about people going before you and doing it that makes you believe that you can do it too. And so she taught the kids a song. And they started singing, and these are very cool high school kids who typically don't sing and typically don't clap and typically don't smile. And they started singing, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes." And you won't believe this, but they actually walked out the doors of her apartment and onto the streets of North Philadelphia and started marching and singing, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes." And that's the encouragement that Hebrews offers you this morning. That even though it is challenging, and even though following Christ divides us and may even lead us to the cross, this is not an empty encouragement. So hear once again the words of Hebrews. "By faith, people pass through a divisive time in our country, but still pass the peace on Sunday morning. By faith, the walls of segregation fell down after they had been marched on for more than 7 days. By faith, Barbara Easley Cox, the activist, educator, and peacemaker, did not perish in California or North Korea or North Philly because she received the stranger, fed the hungry, and preached peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Jimmy and Gina, of Tina and Bill and Linda, of Tim and Diana, of Bill and Claudette, of Namisha and Pam and Mike and Diane and Cheryl and Lila and many in the CPCG family, who through faith conquered indifference, administered justice, obtained promise, shut the mouths of liars, survived VBS, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in prayer and put fear to death, They suffered divorce, loss of spouses, loss of children. They were humiliated and embarrassed. They suffered flooding and cancer and car accidents. They lost their jobs and their retirement and their friends. They experienced homelessness and powerlessness. The world didn't deserve them. But God had a plan for us all, that our faith would come together to be whole. Do you see what this means? All these folks paved the way and are cheering us on, so we can't stop now. Let go of all of fear, of your fear and shame holding you back, and run with perseverance the race set before us. Oh, and I forgot to mention, Jesus did it already. He's out in front. He took on all fear and shame and took on the cross, and now is at the right hand of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We can't rest until these unseen realities come. Amen.